Hi, Brad Anderson from Zillow here. Today I'm interviewing Julia Carnahan, one of the top 20 agents for Keller Williams Heritage Realty in San Antonio, Texas. Last year, 2011, Julia was one of the top 50 agents in all of San Antonio, Texas. Today she's sharing with us how to have a successful business where she closes well over $1 million on average monthly and still have a life. Please join us for this webinar podcast now in progress.
Right. And the first stage is, how do I make it all work and how do I get it up to a volume enough that I can sustain myself and my family? So you don't want to really, you don't really want to say it's about money, because it is about money, but it's about having a lifestyle that you want to be able to afford your car and your mortgage payments and your grocery bills and things like that. And this is a very difficult business to get it to a level where you can maintain and sustain yourself. So when I came into this business, I was like, okay, well, I need to be able to earn at least six figures, because I was a manager at HP and that's what I was used to earning. And, we have to maintain that lifestyle. So until I could build the momentum to get there, it was it's a challenge, right, to have a life balance. So, when I think back about what we did, in those early months, we just really didn't have a life because we were struggling to get to that level, right? And it's about gathering leads, okay? So the one thing that, and this is not to, wave the Zillow flag so much, but this is actually what happened to me, is that, we invested in Zillow Premier Agents. And I was able to have enough leads so that, because the three things that in Keller Williams, we focus on the three L's, and the one is leads, listings, and leverage, right? So if this is a numbers game, Brad, and you have to have enough leads to generate enough business that will satisfy you. And how do you do that, right? And lead generation in real estate is the business that we're in. So when we go forth and, invest in a program like the Premier Agent or in programs like that, it's about getting leads. We generate about 350 leads a month, okay? So I focus on, I sort of have a little saying that 4x4, we're in Texas, so that's fun to say, right? Because it's four-wheel drive trucks, that's where everybody's everywhere. But, 4x4, I need one sale a week, right? Four sales a month. And in order to achieve that, that's my minimum, my absolute minimum. And that's not really meeting my $1 million mark. I really need six. But at a minimum, 4x4 will give me a great income in real estate. And so I need to be showing 16 people a week, right, to be able to close four sales a month. And so it really is about being on the phone, in front of people, showing people, and closing business, right? And once you gain enough momentum on your leads, then you can leverage other people to help you. So how we have a life is by leveraging other people, okay? So that initial stage is you have to build the momentum so that you can leverage other people, and you need to figure out the business model that works for you to bring the leads, in. So it's all about lead generation.
Okay? Let me ask you, you're getting about 350, you're getting 350 leads a month. Is that from all internet? Is that off the internet?
All
is
sources.
That just from?
Yeah, all our sources. So we advertise, we do a lot of advertising. So we invest, Zillow is our primary, right? And we do invest in some other programs. But, where I focus my investments are the actual lead generation that brings me phone calls or emails about a listing, because that's as good as a sign call, okay? As far as I'm concerned, if it's just generating Google AdWords or Facebook advertising, that's all good, and you need to have those presence, but I don't spend a lot of money on it because they're colder leads, okay? So right. They need to be leads that are inquiring about a listing, which, you know, gives us that. And then, you know, a couple of things you got to do is you have to answer the phone and you have to show up. That's what I tell my team. Answer the phone and show up for the showing appointment. Right.
Here's a great question that just came in. Somebody just asked, how much time do you devote to your list? I got a lot of questions, so I don't mean to cut you off, but I've
got hundreds of questions.
So how much time do you devote to your lead cultivation, daily or weekly?
Daily, I would tell you that lead cultivation is probably 4 to 6 hours a day, okay? You get the lead, you have to cultivate it, you have to qualify it. Is it a good lead? Is it a lead that goes into our contact management database and we put them into our 8x8 program or, you know, 32-touch program just to keep them going? And do we capture that lead and get them searching for, you know, real estate on our website and send them listing alerts, set up listing alerts?
Mm-hmm.
Those are that we, you know, because when people start looking for a house, you know, on the web, statistics show that it's about a 9 to 12 month process, right, when they first start house hunting. Of course, there are those professional house hunters out there, but, you know, it does take time to cultivate. Now, the thing about what I'm telling you, when you invest in lead generation programs that give you actual listing inquiries, whether it's a phone call or an email, those are like a sign call. Those people are already looking at real estate. They have a question about a house, and that's the key to success for me, is that if they have a question about a house, they're already down that road a little ways. They're not a cold lead, you know, generally speaking. You know, they're into that process 3 to 4 months. So I would say that a lot of our contacts are in the buying mode, you know, either when we talk, the day we talk to them, or within 6 months.
Do you find that they're the Zillow leads, those contacts that you're getting from like sites like Zillow, are they further along than those you get from like Facebook or LinkedIn or any of that?
Absolutely. Yes. You know, I think you have to have a Facebook presence and you have to be on Twitter and LinkedIn. And, you know, people ask me how important is it that my website's ranked in Google, right? And I'm like, I don't care. Because, you know, think about it, where you have to go where the consumers are. And the consumers are on Zillow, Yahoo, Trulia, and Realtor.com. Those are the top four sites. So if you're not there, you're not in business, in my opinion. Because, I mean, people are in the business, but in the kind of business that I'm in, right, which is really my business is all about the web. And, you know, my lead gen is on the web. And those are the investments that I make. In those top. That's go where the consumers are. Just ask your, you know,
right.
Zillow,
right.
Zillow's where the consumers are. You're not going to stop the consumers from looking at Zillow and getting his estimates and looking at his sold and, you know, using the tools
right.
that Zillow is providing. You couldn't afford to build a Zillow website, a Zillow
sure.
portal, right? So go and advertise and have your face on that highway. So if you think of the internet as an information highway, which it is, right, you want to be present as a billboard, and that builds consistency and momentum. You know, this year, we're experiencing people calling us and to list their house with us. Right?
You shared your volume with me. You shared your volume of where you're at this year. Do you mind sharing that publicly? Volume?
No,
one?
Not at all. We've done 12 million so far year to date this year.
So
we'll probably close out the year at about 15 to 18. I was hoping for 20, and we might make it if we get a couple million-dollar listings, but, you know, it's really a bandwidth thing.
Mm-hmm. That leads me to my next question, because you're saying we, and so my good friend Douglas Ashley keeps asking me but he's asking, how many are on your team? How do you do it? How many people are actually on your team?
I'm a licensed agent, the only licensed agent, so I'm a single agent, and I have two full-time assistants. And generally speaking, if we get very busy, I'll pull in some of our other Keller Williams agents to help with showing, you know, as showing assistants. So,
what is the role of your assistant?
The role of my assistants is, one is full-time at my internet desk, right, monitoring incoming emails and Zillow leads and things like that, and entering those people into our CRM system and sending out the listings to them as they inquire, setting up the search alerts. So, you know, I have a dedicated person, and she probably spends at least 6 hours a day doing that.
Would you consider her a lead coordinator?
Absolutely. Yeah, internet lead coordinator.
Okay, that's what we're hearing a lot more of. Yeah, we're hearing a lot more of the there's a new role and there's a new position for the producing real estate agent, which is called a lead coordinator. And someone that's doing, I mean, if you're doing 350 leads a month, I was noticing in the article we had talked last time we spoke, just from Zillow, you had look, I'm showing different screens as we're talking. Just the contacts for that month, you had 280 contacts from Zillow. You had a cumulative total of 3,153 total contacts. But what was really fascinating is I was showing your profile just now, Julia, and you advertise in how many different areas or zip codes on Zillow are you actually advertising here?
Oh, my gosh. I have probably a primary set of 10. And then peripheral ones. And my goal is to have 100% of a zip code, because when I have 100% of a zip code, that means everybody who looks at that zip code sees my face, either, you know, on the search screen when they just get the list of houses back, the results back, or on the listings that don't have, you know, agents, you know, premier agents or aren't featured listing. So it's consistency and exposure, and it's, like I say, you know, you're driving down that highway, people are seeing my face, they see our, you know, they see our comments and reviews, and they're calling us this year. Our listings, I don't hunt for listings. I carry, generally speaking, about 15 to 20 listings at any given time, and those are people calling me up and saying, I'd like to list my house with you. So,
quick question.
Sure.
Yeah, and again, I hate to keep cutting you off, but I've got so many questions, and
absolutely.
I know you've got so much to share, but I just want to get all these questions out because they're coming in, the boxes over full. There's no way I'm going to get to all of these. Real quickly, what is the average sales price in your area, just to give people an idea so that they can see volume-wise?
Yeah, average sales price in our area is $150. My average closed business is about $190. So we are very focused on the higher, you know, we do a lot of transactions. So, but our average sales price is $150. So we have to close a lot of business. You know, we look at everything, you know, 85,000 and up. And the reason I don't do too much under that is because usually, you know, it's tough to qualify them. It's tough to find a house you can get a mortgage on under that. But, you know, in general, my average is $190, you know. This year,
that means you have to close a lot of business.
We do. Last year I closed 65 transactions. This year we're sitting at about 38, but we've sold more, you know, our dollar volume is up higher. So last year was chaos and organization and getting structured, and now we're more focused, which you have to be focused, because you can get very busy on all the leads coming in. So you have to focus on, you know, where your time produces the most for you.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about those leads, okay? So we know that, look, if you don't have contacts, you don't have any appointments, and if you don't have any appointments, you're not closing any business. So Julie has made it very clear. If you're not out there working the numbers, you're not going to do the kind of volume you're doing. Let's dive deeper. I want to help people. I want people to understand that you are a real human being. You breathe real air just like the rest of us. But you have to manage it. So number one question, and I'm just going to start throwing these at you. What CRM do you use to manage your business and your life? Notice I said both. What CRM to manage your business and your life?
Well, and I'm working on trying to consolidate so I can manage my life even better. But we have, you know, the Zillow Contacts has been extremely helpful for us because we can go in there and make comments and notes. My assistant can make phone calls for me and things like that. Then Market Leader is a CRM system that we use to enter the leads, because I have multiple MLSs. I can send out the listings and track, you know, really the user's activity. So if I can catch the lead, put them on my website, I can look at the listings they're looking at and call them. So, I mean, we're cultivating them there in Market Leader. every day there's about 100 people looking at real estate on my website. So if I don't have any appointments, guess where I go, right? So I go to Market Leader and I I look at who's online looking at real estate in the last 3 days, and I start picking and choosing who to call and see if I can schedule showings. And these are people who know us because they've been introduced to us through Zillow. 80% of our business is Zillow, as you can see. You know, so they know us and they're looking at real estate on our system. We sent them a listing from our system. They start using our system, and that's the CRM. Now I am looking at Salesforce, and because Salesforce, there's some customized real estate apps out there in Salesforce where I can put, yeah, I need to be able to get all my leads into a CRM without having to manually enter them, because it's too time consuming. Okay, so I'm looking at, I'm trying to automate and filter those emails and have them automatically populate contact records in Salesforce to at least give me a better tracking capability. You know, we're missing business just because we're not, you know, tracking it. We're doing a good job, but we could probably do 30% better if we could manage those income needs.
Sure, we actually, Zillow, that's our CRM. We use internally, Zillow uses Salesforce, so it's a great program. Let's talk about, because I want to dive into the day in the life of what you do, and kind of, because again, I want to tell people, you know, give them some tips and help and support, but I also want to walk through the day in the life. But let's talk about a lead. So a lead is just, it could come from anywhere, a phone call. What is your first, you know, with any lead, what is the first thing you recommend, or what do you do with an online lead that comes in? You have a lead coordinator, they get this lead. Right. What are they doing? I mean, just walk me through a lead and how you get them in your car and close a deal with them.
Sure. So a lead comes in, and I'm set up for text alerts on Zillow, right? So make sure you do that. And so as soon as the lead hits the email inquiry, I'm texted on my phone. Of course, now I'm out with clients and blowing and going, right? So we don't have a lot of time to follow that. But my assistant sitting at the internet desk, she sees the lead come in. She looks up the listing in MLS to see if it's active or not, right? Because sometimes those listings are sold. You know, any lead is a good lead, because even if they're inquiring on a sold house, they're inquiring and they're looking for real estate. So, you know, the first thing we do is we'll, you know, if it's in that price range, 80,000 and up above, you know, if there's a phone number, we pick up the phone and call them ASAP. So this is I like to call it a just-in-time business, because if we don't call them in the first 5 minutes, somebody else is going to call them. And that's the job of my team, right? And that's difficult to do as an agent, because you're with people, you're doing contracts, you know, you missed half the leads that came in today because you weren't able to pick up the phone and call. So you absolutely, and that's the job of my other assistant. It just rides jump seat with me, honestly, in the car, drives me around. We're just together all day, every day, if we can stand each other that much. But, I mean, it's literally because it's of the phone support, right? Because, you know, that lead comes in, I need them to call them back, and they get them on the phone, they hand the phone over to me, and I take over from there, you know. So speed is key. So, you know, if you wait 5 minutes, that lead is picked up by multiple agents. And, you know, my broker has a thing, at first I was like, nah, Craig, you know, I don't believe you. But it's true, you know, now that I'm at this volume. And buyer's agents is people use you for availability, right? Sellers use you for credibility. Buyers are looking for availability. I want to see a house now. I want information now. You know, if you think you're the only guy that can give it to them, you're fooling yourself. So, you know, you have to set up models and systems in place so that you can get that information to them, capture them. And then you want to relate to them, you know, right? So that you've got to get that life factor going, right?
Sure.
So that you can capture and keep them. Because when you hang up the phone with them, there's still going to be three or four other people calling that client, right?
So it sounds to me like you respond, and I think the key thing you said, Julia, is 5 minutes. We tell people you have 90 seconds, especially with mobile, because there's 60-some homes a second are looked at on the Zillow mobile app, meaning they're in front of the house, they're in the community, they're driving around in the neighborhoods on their bicycle, whatever. So yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And when you really think about lead generation, I think you're hitting it out of the park today, because that's what it's all about. I mean, all of these other tools and all these other things, and internet and social media, it's all great and fun. But again, it comes down to the leads. It's contacts, appointments, and closings. Contacts, appointments, and if you stay focused, that's the thing. Now, I want to also talk about because I do want to walk through, and we got about 30 minutes, so we're getting a lot covered. This is awesome. I want to talk about the day in the life of Julia. But before I get to that, let me just ask you three quick questions. Number one, real quick, how long is your listing presentation? How long does it
my
take?
My listing presentation is about 30 minutes. And my listing presentation consists of showing them my listings on Zillow and my listings on Realtor and Trulia, okay? Because,
30 minutes.
And then and really because, and I don't have, and this is probably my bad, but I do need it, but a PowerPoint or anything like that. I just throw open my laptop, I sit down with them, we talk about who I am and what I do and how I do it, and how I advertise their listing, and how I'm going to promote their listing, the number of views their listing gets, and I show them where consumers are shopping, and they believe it because they're shopping, because they're looking at their next house. The rest is just, I sit there and do an interactive CMA with them right there at the table, and we discuss the value of the house. So I don't go in with a prepackaged folder,
That's what I wanted.
I mean, pretty much a lot of other agents, and I like to say this, and it's an effective way of doing real estate. It is the old way of doing real estate, right? Is going in with a listing package and all the information prepared. But I do it right off my laptop. It really is. And I show them my mobile app and things like that that we're going to do for them. And it's right. about the exposure. And I also show them how. I may ask them, who are the other listing agents you're interviewing? And they'll tell me. And so I'll go pull those people's listings up on Zillow and Trulia. And if they don't have their profiles, guess who's getting the leads? My face is on those people's listings. And so
what is your ratio? So we know that you have a 4x4 plan, an 8x8 plan. We know that you have $1 million goal each month. When you get these leads, if you're getting 350 online, two questions actually. What is your conversions on listings where you sit with the client and you actually close them? Are you closing one out of three or one every one? And the second question, from those 350 leads, how many of those are you converting into clients over time?
Right. I would say that on the listings, we about 80% of the time to 90% of the time we get the listing. And the times that I don't get the listing, they've decided not to sell, because we've looked at the market and it's not good, or, they've gone with an agent that really farms a neighborhood, and so they have a presence in a neighborhood. That's the only time I've ever lost to another agent, is if they have, 10 signs up in a neighborhood. But that's also, I combat that by saying, okay, well, as your listing agent, my goal is to sell your house, not your neighbor's house. Right. So, you come up with ways to handle some of those objections. But so we do close a lot of it. Now, remember, I don't go out and look for listings, and I should. But I'm trying to, bring another agent in so that I can help with buyer leads, so I can go get more listings, because that is the model of real estate. The more listings you have, the better. But we're doing stellar just the way we are. But we do need to get more listings. But the listings I do carry, 15 to 20, on active listings, are from phone calls where people want to interview me or want to have me list their house, okay?
Right, and you're not a team of 10 people. It's just you and your two assistants. So now what about those online leads? What's your lead coordinator doing? How many of those 350 leads a month are you actually converting into clients, Julia?
I would say, out of the we are selling an average, the least we sell is about four. On average, we're 6 to 12 a month. We're closing, so you know, but those are leads that are percolating, or they're, you know, clients. Sometimes I'll get a lead where we go out and we write a contract on the first house and show them, because they've been looking, and this is the house they want, and I answered the call, you know. So
right.
We do have that kind of thing. So, you know, it is about, I would say 1 in 10, you know, we are actually converting to sticky clients, right? Whether they're 1 in 10 that are qualified, 1 in 10 that are actual real buyers looking, you know, I would say 1 in 10 of the leads that we get are truly qualified real buyer leads, and we're able to get them to stick and into our database. Now, you know, you saw our numbers there. You know, we have gotten like 3,000 something. Our contact, our CRM now has about 3,500 contacts in it. So now I have and think about that over, you know, 2 years, that's a great, you know, sphere of influence that we can continuously massage those people. And 100 people a day, 70 is a low day, but on average it's about 100 people a day are looking at properties on my site. So whether from my listing alerts or, you know, shopping for real estate. So that's huge. You know, I can fill my schedule every day anytime I wanted, you know, just by making phone calls off those.
Now, you're saying 1 out of 10. So let's go back and let's revisit the brokerage of 5-10 years ago, where people would call the title company and it would farm an area, a market, a city, a zip code, a subdivision. And to get a 1-3% return from your 500 calendars or letters that you sent in the mailbox, to get a 1-3% return was considered awesome. You're telling me you're getting a 10% return from your lead conversion online. That is amazing. And so I don't want people to go, well, that's not that much. That is huge. So the next thing that leads me to this question is, so you get 1 out of 10, they work with you, and all of a sudden they come on Zillow and they start writing, wow, I'm looking at this top review right now on Zillow. It says, wow, Julia, this lady will remain our list of remarkable people for a long. So let me ask you something, and be really honest here. None of this is – do these reviews work? Do you think people reading this stuff and other people say about you? Talk to me about this review process.
Yeah, the reviews absolutely work. A lot of the phone calls that I get from Zillow, because people do – I get probably 30% of the leads we get off of Zillow are probably phone calls. They'll say, I've read your reviews, and we're moving into the area – and we would like to work with you as our agent. Or it's a listing call, and they said, I read your reviews. We would like to work with you as our agent. We need to buy a new house, and we want to sell our house. So the reviews are 100% necessary, and, I think you have to get them. We should have a ton more up there. We just have been – I need to hire another assistant so I can have them go out and – put out the request. But I think, you know, exactly. We should have 60 reviews. The reviews are critical to the success of our business.
Okay, so now let's do this, because we still got plenty of time, and there's a lot of great questions. But I've got people asking, so what are your hours? When do you work? Mondays through Fridays? So do me a favor. Walk us through a day with Julia Carnahan in real estate. Maybe 3 to 5 minutes. Just tell us, you get up in the morning, what do? You drink coffee? Do you go to the gym?
Yeah.
Just tell me what your day looks like. So people will get a kind of a visual of, okay, I could do that, or no way, that's not for me.
So, you know, if this business is difficult, you know, I think that for me, and everybody needs to find what works for them best. But for me, I don't leave my house till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, okay? Because everything is happening in real estate in the afternoon and the evening and weekends. So in the morning time is my lead generation. I'm looking at who's online. I'm having my coffee. I'm doing wrapping up contracts and inspections and negotiations and things like that. So as much as I can, so I'm not doing that on the road. My day, you know, I'm at home till 1 from at my home office. And then from 1 o'clock on, we're in the city, we're out showing and going, and I might take a couple hours, stop in the office and catch up on some things if I have a break. And you have to schedule yourself some time, because, it is not unusual for us to work with two or three clients in a day showing them properties. And if you can imagine, you know, I mean, each one of those clients are going to want to see two to six properties, right? And I try to tap them out at three or four, and that's it, and I'm on to the next one because it's too much for them. But I do try to fit in as much as I can. So we're out showing until 9 o'clock at night. I do think that is, you know, largely a tribute to our success. In San Antonio, there's 500 agents, and I love them all to death, but, you know, there's 500 agents in our office. At 5 o'clock, it's empty. You know, a lot of times last year, I'd be the only guy sitting there, you know, making phone calls in the evening because people are home. And, you know, but I was just trained that way, you know, as a very young person. And my father got me into insurance, and insurance was sales, right? So this is a sales and a telephone business. So evening time is when you can catch people, you know, after work and everything. So right. If you have family and children, it's very difficult if you have kids. But, and if I had younger children, I would, and it would be doing this. You have to schedule your evening time appropriately. But you can still work from home, too, after you go to bed and things like that. So this business is very much for me, you know, 1 to 9, right? And so we do put in long hours. But, you know, we're doing 10 to 14-hour days. And when we're not scheduled, that's when we take off, you know. If it's a long day, we're just, you know, home having fun and, you know, just take off. So you do have to schedule time. You have to balance your life, because if it's all about work, you'll burn out. We call it, you know, you can't redline your career, right? So you do have to give yourself time, whether that's a few hours in the afternoon, or you give yourself your morning for your quiet time, and it's not so crazy and hectic. That's the way we do our days off. If the showings slow down and it's quiet and we don't have any showings, or have one client that wants to go out and show, I'll reschedule them for another day, and if they're amenable to that, then that's great. But if they're not, then I'll get somebody else to take them and show them properties, you know, and I'll book my day at home and just stay at home. So every day is a new day. It's exciting. I love that life, you know. It's as it happens, right? So I never know. There's been people who've tried to work with me and didn't really work out, because it was like, well, they're like, well, I need to know my schedule. Like, in this business, there is no schedule until you know what you're, you know, you can somewhat schedule in advance, like 2 or 3 days in advance, I know who I'm showing and I'm booked, right? But I have gaps in there where I can fill new clients in, you know, but I just can't tell you 100% what's going to happen tomorrow, because clients cancel, new clients call, you know, it's one of those things. So you require a schedule and a rigid, you know, more structured environment. You'll just have to book that for yourself, but leave a set of hours open where you can be unscheduled and just take whatever comes and fit it into that 2 to 4 window or something like that. I get a kick out of agents. I'll call agents with questions on listings, and they'll say, I'll be answering phone calls between 10 and 12, and then again between 5 and 7. Like, I want that answer now, right? I want to write a contract. I'm like, yeah. Are you serious?
That doesn't work anymore, by the way. I've had to help a lot of people with that, to say, you know, remove that from your recording, because especially, you know, they're calling from the neighborhood. You have
right?
that 90-second to 5-minute window, and you just lost
their
time.
100% agree. That's crazy stuff. So, but you know, they're trying to put themselves into a schedule. They need more structure, you know, but that's fine. If you need more structure, structure yourself, but don't tell the world about it, because the world wants information right away. So, you
right.
know, you need to be able to have, if it's not for you, then hire assistants that can't answer the phone for you, right? You'll be a great return on your investment. So, you know, the day in the life here, you know, for me, it's really about, you know, morning is my time at home and visiting with family and, you know, getting ready for the busy day, trying to schedule our day, you know, and then we work from 1 till 9, and it's not every night, but you know, sometimes we're done at 6 and we're home again, and that's a great day for me. But
so pretty much from one to nine are your hours that you kind of devote to everything real estate.
Fine.
And then fine. Okay,
yeah.
No, that's good. And then weekends,
yeah,
sound like you're very customer service accessible.
I'll tell you what. We do really well because other people won't work after 5 and on Sundays. So, and in fact, my assistant, you know, she'll come to me and say, okay, well, I'm ready this Sunday, because she knows that other agents aren't answering the phone and we can get all the calls in. So, but we don't start till 1 on Sundays, right? But we do work Sundays. And, you know, now we are, I have nothing against people who don't and who want to dedicate Sunday to family day. That's great. But I will just tell you that is, we don't start work till Sunday. You know, we have our family time, we have our church, and we have, you know, lunch, family lunch. But we treat Sunday just like any other work day. If people want to see real estate, because people are off work and they want to see real estate on Sundays, you know.
Right.
So I will tell you that does happen to us, but we do a lot of business on Sundays. So after five Sundays.
Yeah, let me run through a few more questions, because we got about 15 minutes left, and I want to make sure I get some of these squeezed in here. So it sounds to me like you do a lot of phone. What is your primary, with the clients you work with, and obviously this is a demographic for your area, but you know, we have text messaging, we have direct messages, we have Twitter direct messages, you've got email, you've got the phone, you've got smoke signal, carrier pigeon. What is your number one, do you find the number one form of communication with your clients today?
Phone and text.
Phone and text message.
Phone and text. Text is faster. You know, I can send an email response and they will probably get it, but 90% of the time people are probably on their mobile device, right? So I will, if I call them and they don't answer the phone, I will text them and say, hey, this is Julia. I'm just trying to answer your question about your inquiry on, you know, Whisper Ridge, you know, Street. And, you know, they will text me back and they will call me back. So it's a great way of capturing people. But we do have to email too, you know. Not everybody does text messaging, but I would say the large majority do text message. So, I've never had anybody. I mean, because, you know, we're trying to catch that call. They inquired, and we're trying to answer the inquiry, right?
Right,
and a lot of times they're sitting on the web, but they're not answering their phone because they don't recognize the number coming in. And I've had people say, well, I just pressed the button for the inquiry, and you're calling me now. Oh, wow, that was fast. And it's like, yep, that was fast. Yeah.
You know, everybody who's on this call right now, Julia, and everybody who's listening to this recording, I can guarantee you, prior to clicking play, has gone into their email and deleted emails they didn't even open, they didn't even look at, and they didn't respond to. But nobody, not one single person today, has deleted and not responded to a text message. So it's a huge point you make there, and I don't want to blow over it, because I think it is a critical piece of our future in this business, that, you know, text message is not only just the next generation, the way they're doing it, they want it instant, they want it now, but it is the newest form of communication, and it's fast, it's furious, and you've got to be on it.
I'll give you an example. At 1:19 a.m. This morning, I had a client text me and said, I know it's late, but I saw a house that looks great and almost the same price and wondered about trying to see it before we write a contract today. I just don't want to miss an opportunity. The address is 16411 Hornet. Oh, by the way, sorry, I'm a night owl. Mm-hmm. At 1:19 a.m. I got a text message.
Oh, my God.
And we're actually scheduled to write a contract today. So he's last-minute house hunting, and he's finding some things he wants to look at, right?
So on the screen right now, I am showing everybody something. I don't know if you're watching this or if you can see it, But exactly what you just shared is exactly what we share in this video. So right now, anybody on this call or if you're listening to this audio, if you go to Zillow.com/agent-websites and watch this 90-second video, you will crack up because it is exactly what Julia just said. And people are calling and texting and trying to contact you at 1:19 in the morning when you're sleeping, when you're sitting on the john. I mean, they're always trying to get a hold of you. So now let's close this up by talking about the life. At what point do you shut them out, shut down, and say, nope, this is my time? Oh, somebody's asking, what was the address? It's Zillow.com/agent-websites. These are the premier agent websites, which, Julia, you have one of these, and I'm going to talk to you offline about setting yours up because it's free. Mm-hmm. You can focus on a niche. We can take that offline. But, yeah, these premier agent websites are all included in your program.
Right.
But this video, anybody who heard your scenario about the 1:19 a.m. text has got to watch this. It's hilarious. But it's one of those things that, you know, you have to shut down at some point. So, what does Julia do when she's not selling real estate? Obviously, you have high energy, you're committed to your business and your customers. We see your production, you're kicking butt, you know, and you've done this in a relatively short amount of time. But where do you find your balance? What do you do? How do you do it?
Well, this is like at Keller Williams, we talk about the three L's: list, leads, right? You have to have enough leads, listings, and leverage. And this is where leveraging other people for you, right? So if you want to block out family time, you can block out family time. You just leverage others. So you leverage your assistant or your showing assistant to cover your phones from a certain time, right? Or for a certain day. So as long as you have coverage, you don't have to have the fear that you're missing business. So this is where leveraging others comes in, right? Whether it's an assistant or if it's a buyer's, you know, I have agents at Keller Williams that will back me up and, you know, I share a split with them. If I want to take a day or weekend away, you know, you just say, hey, cover my business for me. You know, and they pick up the calls because my business is very much buyer focused. And so, you know, we have to respond to those calls. We can't just, you know, not, I would feel bad if we didn't, because if we didn't answer the phone, people would be upset with us, right? So you have to have somebody covering your phone. So leverage others to give you your time, and you need to schedule it. I think it's interesting, Brad, that, you know, people think about, I'll schedule my business. And it really, in real estate, for me, it's about scheduling my family, right? Because businesses all the time, 24/7, never stop. So it's easier to just say, okay, well, my family and focus times, I'll schedule those times and leverage other people to cover for me, you know, so that if I have somebody watching the phones and things like that. So, you know, and you have assistants, so you have to hire assistants. You have to... Yeah, and this is a business. You need to run it like a business. You have to, you know, for me, I reinvest at least 30% of my income back into assistance or advertising because, you know, I get a return on my investment, and it's the only way we can grow and do the volume that we can. And we're already at a bursting point, and I'm ready for a buyer's agent or a listing agent right at this point because we're sustainable. We've been consistent for 2 years. And we can do more because, you know, we're missing business because we don't have the bandwidth people-wise. And so, you know, but we're in another growth mode right now. But you need to leverage people.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. This is really important because I don't know if you're even looking at the screen. I think you're just on a phone call with me. So
I'm on the screen. I can see the screen.
Okay, because I'm running through your social media. I'm looking at your tweets. I'm going, oh my gosh, you are like a machine. I think I'm pretty good on Twitter. And I'm thinking, you know what? So looking at Twitter, I know you use Quick from your phone to upload videos. I see you on Facebook.
Right.
I see you on LinkedIn. I've got to ask you this question because I've probably been asked 30 different times from 100 different people today in the questions box. Is this getting you any business? In other words, you have your lead gen, but do you get any business from your activity on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube?
Actually, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, Twitter support my business. So the clients
say
that I
again.
Capture,
say that again.
They,
say that.
It supports my business because, you know, I have clients from out of town, we're videoing, or we're house hunting with a husband who's relocating here, and we need to show the house to the wife who's in California or somewhere. Right, so we're using these tools to support our business. So it's not like I go out and say, oh, I'm going to upload this listing. Or if I have a listing that needs exposure, you know, I'll publish it out to Twitter. And Twitter is linked to Facebook. So Twitter, when I tweet something, it goes to Facebook too. I have clients that go on to Facebook to look at tips and some stuff. You know, I mean, they friend us on Facebook. So it's important because you're building a community, right? So your sphere of influence is the people you have met, right? And then you have a circle of people who you haven't met. And so the more people you meet and capture and, you know, look at you and look at these things online during the buying or selling process, you know, you're building a sense of community, and it keeps them sticky. So they stick to you because, you know, they're going to be out all over the web, and you want to be able to provide these things to them. So, but yeah, it supports our business. You know, people, we use those tools, and it's all off my phone. You know, I mean,
right, exactly.
It's right off the phone. So, you know, when you send something out, you know, it's going out to all those places. We video it with Quick and publish it out through Quick. So it's not like it's a lot of extra work. It looks like a lot of extra work, but it's not. You know, it's really right there while we're at the house, while we're talking, you know, we're publishing it out, you know, and most of that, what you're seeing there is for people who need to see it at a long distance where we're showing houses, or we're going out and previewing houses and saying, here's the four houses we're going to show you when you come into town next week.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, I'm proud to say that I'm looking at Google right now, and when I start typing in your name, it automatically suggests Julia Carnahan, uh-huh. Keller Williams, Julia Carnahan, Realtor, Julie Carnahan, San Antonio, number one spot in Google out of how many views here? Let's see, out of 169,000 results on your name, and the number uh-huh. two spot. I'm excited to see your Zillow profile is right there. That's awesome. So uh-huh. if you were to say, and I loved how you said social media supports your business. That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like you need to track or account for mm-hmm. How many transactions. You don't go back, or can you say, well, I've closed two from Facebook, one from LinkedIn, or do you just look at it as a support mechanism for your business?
For me, it's truly a support mechanism.
Okay.
What I track is where I spend my money, okay? If I was going to spend my money on Facebook ads, and oh, by the way, I did that, and it was very successful. When I first created the business page on Facebook, I didn't want to only have two likes out there, right? I wanted to gain some likes. So I did, you know, I spent about $100 on Facebook ads, and we had like 25 likes in about a week. So, you
wow.
know, So I think that, you know, Facebook advertising is effective. I can't say that I closed any business, but when people contact me if they had a question about real estate, you bet. I do think there's money in that. For me, the best return on my money is investing in lead gen, like Zillow Premier Agent, because we actually physically close business off of those. Those are listing inquiries to me, and so that's a better return on my investment. And we do spend you know, quite a bit on that, but you know, it is trackable, and I can tell where that money's going, and I'm getting a return on my investment. So, in you know, you could dribble money into Facebook and some of those other advertising avenues, but I do think you have to be there. You have to be there because people expect it today. You have to have
right.
a Facebook page.
Right.
You need a business page. You need to be on LinkedIn. That's your online resume, and you need to have a Twitter. So. You know, and you need to, if you can't be creative enough, you know, I think there's companies out there that will do it between $50 and $100 a month. It will post things for you on real estate and things that are happening. But, you know, if you're reading an article online on Inman News, for example, right, you can tweet that article. And so that if you see something on HG you know, on their articles about housekeeping and stuff, you can just forward that to your Twitter. And that's, you know, what I do if it's been quiet too long and I haven't posted anything. Well, I'll do that. So, I mean, you don't have to spend any money on that to do that. If you're reading something online you think it's interesting and it would be interesting to your audience, you know, just forward it and tweet it. You know, it's really easy to do these days. So.
Sure. Do you use a, so they get a lead and I, let's say I contact and I click on that contact agent button over here on schedule a showing. I contact you and I say I'm interested in this property. Your lead gen gives it to you, your coordinator. You contact me back. Do you use a buyer broker agreement or do you just pre-qual me and hope for the best and hope I'll be loyal? Or what do you recommend for folks that get a lot of leads like you, but have challenges with those buyers?
Well, I will tell you, this is a bone of contention between my brokers always after me to get a buyer rep agreement, right? I personally, for me, I feel uncomfortable doing that because when I was out shopping for real estate, you know, realtors would want me to do that, and I would do it on the listings that they showed me. But they, a lot of realtors were unable to find the property that was going to work for me. So I had a hard time signing buyer rep agreements personally. So I do think, I don't require buyer rep agreements. I do think we probably lose a little bit of business because we don't. But here's the thing. We're very busy and we are very focused, you know, on the clients that are in the buy mode, right? So if I'm not able to service a client, then by all means, they should go someplace where they can get the service that they need. If I can't show them houses or if I can't get them scheduled within that window of time or have the bandwidth, if I had a buyer's rep agreement, you know, they would be forced to use me. And I have a lot of people call me and they have buyer rep agreements and they're unhappy with the performance of the agent. So again, this is about, on the buyer side, it's about the availability, right? People need that. So I think it's a very sensitive topic. If I'm just getting introduced to somebody and if I say, you know, I need you to sign a buyer rep agreement, and this is what it, I mean, it's a great way of scaring the buyers off. Once you're out and you're working with them and you're showing them listings and, you know, you're building a relationship and a rapport and you know that this is going to be a client you're going to work with, then absolutely you should, you know, because people, you can't stop people from looking at houses, right? And they're going to be online shopping and they're going to have people call. So you should, because that's where, you know, you run the risk of losing somebody after you've invested a lot of time. So it's really a time element for me. If I have a lot of time invested in somebody or I'm planning a lot of time to invest in somebody, we do a buyer's rep agreement. You know, I would need an assistant.
Go ahead.
I would need an assistant. If I did a buyer rep agreement with everybody I talked to, you know, I would need a full-time assistant just doing buyer rep agreements. So, I mean, if I'm investing time, I don't want to lose my investment. So I definitely, and they feel like they're going to stick with me, I will do a buyer rep agreement. We have to have it for our contracts. We do it when we make offers, you know, is the other thing.
So let me ask you one final question, because I know this has been begging to be asked, and I've had a few people ask this because, you know, of Zillow, and you generate so many leads from Zillow. Do you find talking to the consumer about the Zestimate, like here's a property on Inwood Manor in San Antonio, it's for sale for $425, there's a Zestimate for $425,932, the Zestimate's actually higher than the for sale price. How do you deal with Zillow's Zestimate, Julia?
I tell people, because people... people, it's a little, the Zestimate has become more credible over time because, you know, in the beginning we could combat it a little bit, you know, I think people are very, they believe what they see, so they believe that that's the value of the house. And what I explain to people is that this is a program that is calculating you know, an estimate, an assessment, based on recent sold and things like that in the community. We're going to go make an offer. We do have to do a real CMA, and we look for the true comparables, and we need to look at the interiors of the homes and how it's finished out and the other features that it might have that may not be calculated in that estimate. So, you know, to replace the MLS and what a realtor or an appraiser does on a comp, you know, is very difficult to do mathematically online on every listing. So that's what I say.
Well, the other thing is that Texas, as some may or may not know, is a non-disclosure state, which for me, I just have to say this, that means you're able to use Zillow and a tool that we provide to homeowners all across this country that's not really readily accessible or available to them in your area because your state's a non-disclosure state. Yet you're still able to take those clients and those leads and those contacts from our site and convert them into customers. I think that is a huge kudos to you. I know there's other agents in Texas doing the same thing, but it just kind of lends to the credibility of, you know, Zillow is a good starting point for consumers to do research, just like WebMD. But, you know, Zillow doesn't sell the home no more than WebMD does the surgery. They'll always need the local professional or local expert like you. And it sounds like you don't have any challenges in that area with consumers and the Zestimate.
Well, no, because again, without the laptop, when we go to here's the comment that I get from buyers all the time. Well, the Zestimate says that it's this, right? And it's okay, right. Well, let's look and see if that's accurate because that's a general calculation on the neighborhood and the recent sold. Let's see how accurate it is. We'll pull up MLS. We actually go in and create a CMA in MLS with the client, and we look at the listings, and we look at the photos of the listings, of the comps on the solds, and we say, I have them help me pick the ones that we're going to leave in our comp list, okay? So I'll say, do you think this house is pretty comparable? Yeah, it looks pretty comparable. Let's use that. Well, okay, we'll leave that one in. We look at another house, and, you know, it may not have hardwood or may not have, maybe there's a pool or not, you know. And we'll say, well, no, let's remove that from our list. And then we generate the CMA report, and then they never ask me about this estimate again because what we're looking at, they've picked the houses that we're going to comp. They've helped me pick the houses that we're going to comp. We're looking at the price per square foot, right? And we're doing that together as a team. And then we decide the range, you know, here's our high and our low of the offer range that we're going to go in at, right? So it never really comes up again. It never really comes up against me.
That's awesome. Julia, do me a big favor. I'm having a panel on Thursday, and I know you and I talked about this, but you know, I really want to focus, I want to drill down on this contact conversion. You know, the lead gen, the 4x4, I really wanted to dive a lot deeper in that. So can I get you to come on the 13th when we do an online conversion tips and strategies that actually work and be a part of this next Thursday?
Absolutely. Sure. I'd love to do it. Sure.
So for anybody listening to this or watching now or playing this recording, if you go to ZillowAcademy.com, there's a calendar right on the main page. You can register. It's a free webinar, but we're going to do recordings of these and videos and podcasts and make them available. But I what I'm really trying to do is, you know, the market is changing. We're seeing backup offers. We're seeing lack of listing inventory in some locations. And we're seeing that a lot more leads coming in. And so I think just getting back to basics and what you've talked about lead generation and it's maximizing that lead. It's one thing to cultivate, and it's another thing to get contacted. But it's a completely different monster to convert. I mean, you can get 100 leads or 300 leads. You can contact all 350 of them. You can get 10 of them. That's what I want to drill down in is how do you get these people in your car, meet them face-to-face, and close them. So I just want to give that a quick pitch. We've gone a few minutes over, and I apologize for, again, to our listeners and guests for for the technical glitch. That was my bad. I should have dialed in to begin with. And so it was not Julia's fault. See, it was not her technical talent. It was definitely my bad. So thanks for your patience and understanding, everybody. Julia, there's a lot of other questions. Are you available to, I don't want to put you on the line or on the hook here, but
no.
If somebody did want to chat, do you want them to go to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, call you, email you, send a pigeon, would you be
absolutely
willing to?
Yeah, absolutely. Just reach out to me by email or text or phone call. Just so that, you know, I'll definitely get back to you. It's just a question of whether I'm a client or not. But sure, you know, and if we have enough questions, we can just do an online conference call. I think there's a lot of detail in how to do this business these days. And like Brad's saying, you know, lead conversion, converting is a whole other topic. But there's a lot of people that have questions about it, and I'd be more than happy to answer your questions.
Yeah, and your site, Julia Carnahan's site is imovetx.com, imovetx.com. You can find her there. You can also find her in the professionals directory on Zillow. If you just go to Zillow.com, click on the professional directory, type in Julia Carnahan. There on her profile, you'll find her LinkedIn, her Twitter, her blog, her Facebook, all of her social media, her listings. If you're in the Texas area and you have any buyers leaving your area, maybe you have some listings in your area, but they're moving to Texas, I'm certain that if you contact Julia with your sellers, who will be her buyers, she'd possibly even pay you a referral fee.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, absolutely.
Julia, thank you so much. You were awesome. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to having you back next Thursday.
Sounds good, Brad. Take care. Have a great day.